Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is our second track meeting, and we have a full agenda today. And so we're going to have an opportunity to do a lot more interaction and input today. We'll be trying a new thing, a few new things, like raise your hand and different things, and so as well as a group discussion. First of all, we have a new track member. He's a state forester and assisting commissioner of the Department of Agriculture, Mr. David Arnold. So we're going to just ask him to do a brief introduction of himself. So since all the rest of you had to do that last meeting, Assistant Commissioner Arnold, if you would, are you with us, sir?
Yes. Can y'all hear me? Let me check audio real quick. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Well, I'm excited to be here. I guess Ann Marshall had asked me to serve on the committee. And basically, I'm the state forester and the Division of Forestry. We are a division within the Department of Agriculture. And we are 318 full-time people, 150 seasonal, that are passionate about protecting, conserving, and enhancing Tennessee's forest resources for all values, including timber management, protection of water quality, wildlife habitat, and places to recreate and just hang out, I think is how I put it in some of the information I provided earlier. I've worked with the Division of Forestry for 30 years now, and I was appointed state forester a little over 2 years ago. And I guess my personal top priorities within the division, first of all, is safety. You know, we try to have the umbrella of safety over everything we do. But next to that is to be best prepared as we can for wildland fire suppression. And to do that, we want to adopt the National Incident Management System as fully as we can and more fully develop incident management teams. Next priority for us is to develop sustainable, competitive, diverse forest products markets. And then third is people. You can have the best equipment, best resources in the world. If you don't have motivated, engaged, eager personnel, it's just hard to achieve your mission. But excited to be here. Again, that's just sort of my history with the state of Tennessee, who I am. And I'll just stop right there so we can get on with the meeting. But thank you very much. Oh, and by the way, I am in Gatlinburg this week on vacation. I do have our dog with us in the room, so I'll try to stay on mute. But if I am talking and you hear some background barking, that's what's going on. So thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. And that's a good cue for everyone. If you, we are going to have an opportunity for interaction on this meeting, but if you will mute your device then and then unmute it when you have an opportunity to speak, then we won't hear all the background noise. I think we're approaching probably 30 people on the call, so sometimes I can get a little confusing. At this point, Ann Marshall is going to give us an overview of accomplishments from our 2020 plan.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it. Can everybody hear me okay? I'm borrowing some headphones from somebody and they sound really weird. So I just want to make sure you can hear me all right. I hope you guys have done your homework because it's really impossible to go through and give an overview of the Tennessee 2020 plan in 15 minutes. So I hope that all of you have had a chance to kind of peruse the original document, which set out the 2020 initiatives and then also the 2015 update. That was published in 2015 for these past 5 years. So it was just sort of an extension of the original 2020 plan. But what I thought I would do is just real quickly, I sent it out this morning. It was probably about a 16-page document that I sent out to everybody this morning on the track committee, just so you would have a copy of it for reference today. But I think we've accomplished quite a bit as I kind of went through it and checked things off the list and looked at areas that we needed to maybe continue to focus on. I was surprised at how much we've actually accomplished and how much we've done. When you've got 10 major initiatives spread out across 10 years, you have an opportunity to do a lot of different things. But of course, there are some shortcomings too. So it would be up to this group to decide as we go through this you know, what things are still relevant that we did not accomplish? Are they still things, you know, that are relevant and pertinent today? Are they still trends or issues in our state? Or can we chalk that up to an accomplishment and move on to the next thing? So that's part of what we're going to be talking about today. But as we look at parks, people, and landscapes, the chapters that made up the park section, advocacy and funding was the first thing, looking at the need for decision makers for accurate information about the value of funding for parks, recreation, and conservation. And I think when we look at from the TDEC perspective, we really have come a long way at managing our state park system more like a business, and looking at different funding mechanisms and revenue generating resources, more public-private partnerships. I think we've been able to expand our advocacy and outreach initiatives by creating our memorandum of understanding or resolutions with related groups. And every state park has an MOU with the city and the county where that park resides, the location of that park. And I think that's been a really great effort to pull the local governments together with the state park that is in their area, and for them to work more closely together on programs, tourism initiatives, and those types of things. We've grown our friends groups from 28 to 42, more volunteer events. We've added 3 state parks to our system in the last 10 years, Cummins Falls, Rocky Fork, and Seven Islands State Birding Park. However, one of our major land conservation funding sources, the Heritage Conservation Trust Fund, has been idle for the last 4 or 5 years. We don't have a dedicated funding source for state parks like we had set out to create. Our Tennessee State Parks Conservancy has kind of been on a roller coaster. You know, it's struggling a little bit, but we do now have a new executive director. And so we're hoping that, you know, that is getting ready to have some new life and kind of bounce back. State parks management is a second chapter. And again, as we look at our state park system, we really tried to implement a business approach to our park system administration. How can we have more of a systems approach to planning with our 56 state park system? So we've implemented a lot of great training and technical institutes for our park managers and rangers. As I mentioned, we have been very successful in adding a lot of different revenue generating activities and programs, kind of beefing up our hospitality side of our department and of our state park system. Having management direction statements and park business and management plans for each state park. Those were instituted in 2014, and they are due to be updated every 10 years, but sooner than that, if there is anything going on within the park that is a major capital project that's anything over $100,000, we're required by state statute to go back and do a public hearing at that park and then update the management plan at that point. You know, we've seen increased visitation. Governor Haslam's administration really provided a lot of capital investment in our park system, over $54 million. IRIS Fund from the sale of our license plates has a new life, Go Green initiatives. Expansion of our GIS technology is happening now. So I think we still have a need for an updated state parks master plan or system plan, and that's something that is in our goals and objectives right now as we speak. So that's something that we hope will be accomplished in this next year. We already have a set of guidelines that we're using to kind of guide us in that, and we also have established criteria or guidelines for how to establish new state parks, which is something that we haven't had before. Local parks and recreation is the third chapter that kind of makes up the park section. You know, the big thing that we didn't accomplish in that area that I think is, I think we really kind of missed the boat on that, but it's something that we can still keep in front of us. We had said that we wanted to do some type of recurring series like convening a series of recreation summits on parks, people, and landscapes, or a number of topics as they came up over the past several years, to kind of look at different initiatives, strategies, how we can form more partnerships, being more connected with each other. And so those never really got off the ground, but I think we have seen a lot of connections being made across our state agencies. We have built and massaged a lot of different partnerships with our nonprofit agencies. Department of Health, I think, has been one of our biggest partners anyway, as we look not only for grants that can help fund activities in our park systems and even local government parks and recreation agencies. But they've also taken one of the initiatives or goals that we had in the last plan to develop a joint use agreement publication, and they ran with that, and it's an excellent publication that I think we could all use. Planning grants, our RES division established planning grants that were implemented. I think we're up to about 30. I know we gave 20 in the last grant cycle and about 10 this time for rural and distressed counties to support comprehensive parks and recreation planning. So that encourages them to plan for their parks and recreation system. And then what that does is allows them to come back and then apply for a local parks and recreation fund grant or an RTP grant. It gets them ready to start their recreation system and start developing and providing programs. Have a lot of needs there, I think. Greenways and trails. I know John Vick is on our track committee, and he and the Department of Health has kind of spearheaded this collaborative group over the last couple of years to really look at our greenways and trails inventory across the state. From the last plan that we did, we were able to realize that we have about 750 greenways across the state, and that was done through our surveys and our supply and demand survey that we did, plus all the RTP grants that we provide to local governments, as well as state parks. We kind of have an idea of what the trails and greenways numbers are out there, but I know there's a whole lot more than that we don't know about, and John's group is multifaceted, a lot of different agencies represented, and we're kind of working on that right now. By the way, John, I tried to sign into your meeting yesterday and kept getting kicked off, so I don't know what was going on, but we can catch up later. And then the people section, we recreation one stop, basically when you look at that chapter, none of it. I mean, we had a couple of little successes there, but our big bold initiative to have, kind of a recreation one stop, an internet geospatial technology in one place for all online recreation experiences was just never achieved. I think it just didn't find a home, and it was something that didn't have legs at the time, and we just couldn't get anything behind it. But I think it's still something that we can do, and it may even be more appropriate for this time. Public health, that's one that I think we will see as a thread through this plan as we continue. It's a thread through a lot of different plans across the state to try to work with the Department of Health, work with our state's network of local parks and recreation departments. Again, there's a lot of partnership capabilities here to try to get people working together towards good public health, health care, education, transportation, a lot of different areas that kind of play into the health of a community and the health of our state. I think we've been successful in creating a lot of different partnerships there that have been successful. The Healthy Parks, Healthy Person program is a great example of something that we have going with state parks in conjunction with local governments and Department of Health. I'll mention the Livability Collaborative too, because I think this has provided a framework where we can bring all of these strategic partnerships together. And I think, again, John Vick might be able to speak to that a little bit later. I think a lot of us on this call today and that are on the track committee have participated in the livability collaborative in the quarterly meetings, but I think it's been a really good way to bring all the agencies together and kind of share resources and information. I think that we still have a lot of work to do on the Greenways and Trails inventory, some more focus on intergovernmental collaboration and looking at diversity and equity in those areas. Children in nature, that was kind of our biggest area of accomplishments, I think, because it was right after we established, you know, our steering committee for No Child Left Inside, and we had a lot of groups working together to make a lot of things happen with programming across the state. We now have a PELT group, which is a partnership for environmental literacy that kind of grew out of this Children in Nature effort and initiative. Let's see, environmental education is next. So as we look, that's really tied very closely to Children in Nature, but this one focuses mainly on the education and the Partnership for Environmental Literacy in Tennessee. This PELT group has really done a lot of good work across the state. I think we can, one of the pieces we might be missing on this group, but of course, depending on where we go with the education piece, is the Department of Education. We don't have a representative on the track committee for that, but they could certainly be involved in one of the subcommittees as we talk about, you know, the importance of environmental education in schools. How do we collaborate to create that environment where we are able to provide environmental literacy and educational programs? How do we continue to use state parks as outdoor classrooms, or how can we make sure that state parks staff and even local government staff in their parks and recreation departments and nature centers visit the schools on a regular basis to do programming? We do have an environmental literacy plan for Tennessee that was developed by this core Children in Nature group back in 2012, but it has never been adopted by the Department of Education. Then as we move to the last piece on landscapes, we look at things that were sort of outside our wheelhouse at the time, but we thought, you know, to kind of broaden some related areas into the recreation and conservation area, we looked at quality growth. There were so many things that we did there with partnerships with Cumberland Region Tomorrow that I basically just listed the page numbers on the 2015 update plan for you guys to review, pages 49 and 50, because there were a lot of tools that that group kind of brought to light that really helped with some of the quality growth methodologies across the state. Recreational waters was chapter 9, kind of the need for all of our communities to have more opportunities to enjoy and protect their local rivers, streams, and creeks. So we wanted more of a coordinated approach there as we looked across the state. Some of it has been accomplished through our Scenic Rivers program. And then some of it, TWRA and TDOT have been very successful with their park and float program. So the concept of blueways at the time when we wrote the plan and started putting some of these initiatives together, I think really took hold in some areas, and there's still so much work to be done there too. I think there's a lot of really new cool initiatives that have gotten started because of this Tennessee Blueway Explorer, you know, the Blueway website that got developed through the National Rivers Recreation Database. You know, so I think blueways is one of those things that we have made some progress in. People know about them. People understand what they are, I think, for the most part. But how do we continue working with building that state network and really having some you know, better programming and better partnerships and connections there for water quality control, planning, public stewardship, and those types of things. And then wrapping us up, let's see, rural economies is the last chapter in the landscape group. We had a goal to develop a Tennessee State Heritage Areas program. And I believe we had someone with TDEC at the time that was sort of implementing that or kind of spearheading that. And then he left, and I'm really not sure where that ended up. I believe it ended up with one of the universities, with MTSU possibly. But I'm not real sure, to be honest, where that is at this point. We did look at also trying to establish a state recreation area designation to kind of look at multi-governmental or even nonprofit organizations that want to try to partner to manage an area together in collaboration with each other. But that would involve seeking legislation to establish that designation. The newly acquired North Cumberland Plateau lands, you know, the Sunquist, Royal Blue, Emery River area, that was sort of the area that was originally discussed as being a perfect example of what a state recreation area would look like. And we have since then have had other areas that have been brought up for that potential designation. But that's something that, again, never really got any legs. Our administration never wanted to take the legislation forward. So it is something that we can still talk about, though. But I think the impact of this whole Tennessee 2020 plan really, I think, relied a lot on partnerships with other agencies, even though TDEC sort of led the charge with the 2020 plan and tried to make sure that even though we might have had an initiative in our plan that another agency was responsible for, we tried our best to make sure that those things were getting implemented or established or developed. And I think one of the overall shortcomings of the entire planning process, and I've mentioned it, I think I might have mentioned it in the very first meeting, was that we did not have the track committee continuing to meet and work through the life of this plan. The track committee was established. This group helped write the plan. They helped guide the plan. They helped promote the plan when it was first announced and unveiled. And then they went away. And if we don't do anything else in this process, I really would like to see some type of permanent group that, even if it's just meeting once a year to review the accomplishments of the plan, to see what's on track, how can we keep this plan fluid? I would really like to see some continued involvement with this group to make sure that we're implementing, a real meaningful plan across the state. So with that, I probably went over my time, but I will go ahead and turn it back over to George.
Yes, thank you, Ann. That's a lot of information and segues into our next section, which is our homework review. Track comments of the 2020 plan. What we want to do for about the next 20 minutes or so is to have comments of the 2020 plan on themes that we think should move forward, and then also discuss new things and trends that should be part of the 2030 plan. Now, the way we'll do this, if you'll go to the bottom of your screen, you will see a participants icon. If you'll take your stylus and hit the participants icon, you should get a column on the right side of all the participants. And you will see a blue hand down there that says raise hand. So we want to start this discussion. And if you will if you have something that you would like to comment, something Ann may have said about the 2020 plan, something maybe we didn't get done that you would think would be important this time, or a theme that should move forward, or if there's themes that you want to be sure are discussed or trends for the 2030, then raise your hand and Michael will go through and do it in order. And I see a hand there from Mr. Arnold. So Michael, you want to take care of it? And then Mr. Black's right behind him.
Yeah, Mr. Arnold, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, just a couple of comments. First of all, let me do an audio check. I've learned to do it every time I try to speak. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yep.
Good. Of the documents that I've had time to read through, first of all, just want to comment on the planning capacity and ability within TDEC. Gosh, if we had that within a division of forestry, it would help us address some of the issues that we're facing. So tremendous planning capacity, a lot of information in the documents that were provided. But as I was reading through the information, I kept thinking, what are three issues, topics, challenges that I would put on the table for the group to consider with this next iteration of the plan? And the top one that came to my mind is forest health. I know in the 2020 plan there were some mentions of some forest health issues, but our forest, Tennessee's forest in general, facing some pretty significant forest health issues. This group is probably aware of some of those. Invasive species that's mentioned in the 2020 plan. You know, there's the hemlock woolly adelgid. We are in a partnership with state parks and others in the hemlock conservation group to try to address that pest on public lands. Gypsy moth is something that we are always concerned about, and gypsy moth infestations quite often get started on public lands. And then you also have some native pests that reach epidemic portions, I guess, in the southern pine beetle, a fairly recent example of that. But just forest health in general, Tennessee's forests are aging, more so on public lands than in the private sector. And that brings a whole host of other issues to have to deal with, stands start breaking up, start creating hazardous conditions. So forest health, I think, needs to be part of this discussion, just to make sure that the places that we are providing Tennesseans to recreate, they have a good experience there, and it's not setting up potential hazardous situations down the road. The other thing is a lot of discussion about environmental education. You know, we have some education efforts as well. We being the Division of Forestry and the forestry community in general. We have Project Learning Tree. We partner with the Tennessee Forestry Association to put that on. Our efforts are focused towards kids and youth. We also have some efforts focused towards adults. So we would like to sort of integrate those efforts and maybe broaden the topic. I suggest broaden the topic to conservation education to include the types of audiences that we deal with. And then my third comment, and then I'll be quiet because I know we need to be conservative in our comments, but just leverage our resources that we have. We have resources, I think, that could help state parks. Y'all have resources that can help us. And we've been working with Deputy Commissioner Jim Bryson to try to bring our respective resources to the table, TWRA's resources as well, where we can strengthen our weaknesses. Each other strengthen our weaknesses, I guess is one way to put it. But there's some general comments that sort of popped into my mind as I was reading the homework information, and I will be quiet and get out of the way.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I believe Michael next on our list is Mr. Black, Park Director, and Jackson Parks and Recreation.
All right, how's everybody doing? I'd like to concur with Ann. I remember when we were working on the 2020 plan, and one of the things that we talked about was continuity in the plan in terms of administrations. If a new administration came in, wanted to make sure that things would progress based on this plan. And what she suggests, I think, is a very good idea, and I think it should probably be a part of this plan in terms of, we're the track committee, but we need a tracking committee to still continuously, I would agree with her, to continuously work to help in whatever way we can to see some of the things that we suggest or we want to implement to see that they are fulfilled and to work to see that they get done. So I think she was on point with that. And it probably needs to be written in the plan that some nature of some type of committee or some type, this group has input in continuing the process of what we suggested. And that's it.
Great, Tony. Let's see, Bonnie Gamble, I believe, has her hand raised.
Yeah, I was looking at what Ann had said, and part of this probably rests on my shoulders as a local Parks and Recreation Department. I don't know my state parks management plan. I don't know the natural areas management plan for Coffee County. There needs to be, I think, a communication between the local providers and the state providers and coming together, not necessarily on a summit that everybody in the state comes to, but on a local or regional area. So we could say, here's how my long range plan looks. This is our long range plan. Are there places that we mesh, or what should we try to fulfill? And then my other, just because this is a 10-year down the road, you know, do we need to assess if there's any effects of climate change on how we manage our resources and what we have? You know, that's, you can look at California, you can look at the coast, you know, Oregon. I'm sure Oregon never thought they would have situations that they're having now. Maybe a one-off, who knows? But, you know, 10 years, 15 years down the road, that's something that's going to affect us possibly.
Very good, Bonnie. Next is Jody Sliger with Economic and Community Development.
I just wanted to mention something about measuring impacts and being able to tell that story. I think that the better that we collect the data and tell our elected officials, tell the people who are there how it impacts them, whether it be tourists that come in and spend money and keeps them, like Department of Tourist Development does a great job of sharing that information, but we need to make sure that it's connected to the state park piece too. And I think it's important to measure and tell that return on investment, because it is an investment and we are seeing returns, and we've got to tell that story better. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, thank you, Jody. Are there other hands? We have a little, there's one, Melanie Beauchamp.
I'll piggyback off of what Jody said, just in the sense that in the 2020 plan, I know there's heritage areas and recreation areas. And then, of course, something that we work on are rural assets. We get a lot of requests through tourist development on developing assets in our rural communities. And as I said in the last meeting, our natural resources are probably the biggest thing that our rural communities have. Right. But we're a marketing arm. So, I mean, you know, we're a marketing agency, and the development piece is really key, and we have so many needs in those communities. So I'd like to see that move forward. And then on the heritage areas, I was looking over that list, Tennessee River Trails, Overhill, Mississippi River Corridor, those areas do some marketing, and they, you know, they're nice that they're developed. And then how can we create an economic impact from those and work with those communities to understand, as Jody's point was, so that they can work together to leverage each other's dollars and market it as a whole area. I'm not sure all those areas are known as a heritage area, but more so just as a region. So I think there's some work we could do there as well.
All right, thank you, Melanie. We have Steve Law with Ten Green Land Conservancy.
Good afternoon. I'm very pleased that environmental education was included in the 2020 plan. That is, I think that is an underlying key to success going forward in so many regards. And I think it definitely needs to be, continue to be part of the 2030 plan. David, I like what you were saying in terms of Forestry Department being involved in environmental education. I'm very familiar with your Project Learning Tree, as I am with other curricula like Project Wild. This is something that, environmental education is something that we cannot just put totally on the shoulders of the State Department of Education. So I think this is an opportunity for further collaboration between a lot of Tennessee agencies and departments. And I think that I'd love to know why the environmental literacy plan was never adopted by the Board of Education, because I think that's a huge stumbling block that we need to take a look at and cross that hurdle.
All right, great. Thank you. Next, we have Dr. Mark Fly with the University of Tennessee.
So I wanted to talk a moment about rural economies. And I know Melanie and I believe Jody mentioned that, but we have, at least the last time I looked, it's been a couple of years maybe, but we had 17 distressed rural counties. And I don't remember the exact specifications for that, but it's very dire.
We have 11 now.
Oh, wow. So we've gotten better. Well, that doesn't mean the rest of them don't still need help, but I just want to iterate the importance of addressing the rural areas in Tennessee, because we've got a lot of growth happening in urban areas, but we're suffering in the rural areas there. And the other thing I wanted to bring up also to, for you all to think about, to put out there, is just that when you think about ecosystem services in the eastern U.S. and especially in the south and Tennessee, I mean, you're really talking about private land. And we've got 80% of the forests are privately owned, I believe, about 51% maybe are family-owned forest and so on. So working on some ideas about some incentives to keep those lands natural is pretty key to the future. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Fly. We're waiting on our, we do have a next hand, but yes, as Ann Marshall mentioned, we, RES is doing master plans, park and recreation master plans with now our second phase of distressed counties. So, and we saw some success in the first phase. Simon, I believe you have your hand up.
Unmute. There I am.
There you go.
One of the issues discussed was inadequate funding. And I also noticed that we went up from, what, 28 to 42 friends groups in the state parks. Just want to recommend a highlight on that, on the friends groups and growing them. That's all I got.
Okay, Simon, thank you. And we're not only recording this meeting, but we're also writing all these different comments down. I see we have a few more minutes. If someone else has something they want to be sure that we include as we move forward with our 2030 plan. It can be something new, or it can be something that is continued from the 2020. See, Bob Benson, Nashville, we have several. Bob Benson.
Hey, George, thank you. Yeah, about the Recreation Summit idea that failed, and this was very helpful to put in what did work and what didn't, really helpful to go over. But you still wanted to maintain collaboration and connections among state partners and other agencies. And it seems to me that your audience would be similar to the TRPA's membership, overall membership, you know, and membership agencies are hurting these days, and perhaps a collaboration with that group in some way that could benefit both of you all and maybe help get your word out through some of the schools or workshops that the TRPA does.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Kayla Carter.
Yeah, I wanted to mention an idea that I think I'm not sure how well it will land with, you know, budgets and creating a new department, but a lot of states are moving forward with state offices of outdoor recreation, and they seem like they're working effectively across sectors and across silos. I'm not sure how that would land here in Tennessee, but Vermont has a really interesting kind of way they've gone about it with establishing a committee with someone from each sector, which seems pretty similar to what the track committee is with Jody and Melanie involved. And then if you also had, you know, a Department of Education person and across the board, but maybe it doesn't start with a state office of outdoor recreation, but it could be a committee that's, you know, just charged with ensuring that, you know, each sector is kind of represented. And then I think somebody mentioned regional levels, like, I think maybe it was Bonnie, but the Northeast Tennessee partnership that I work for, we've really enjoyed building a coalition here with our eight counties through our development district. And I would love to learn more about how we could be a partner for making that happen moving forward.
Okay, thank you very much. Tony Black Jackson. You'll need to unmute yourself.
Tony, we can't hear you.
Okay, you got me now? I'm getting used to
yes,
this
sir.
Stuff. But I think we need to look at the relationship of within the inner city communities. You know, I've talked with a lot of youths, and there are a lot of youths within the inner city that have never been to a state park, don't know what a state park is. They know about local parks. You know, the state park that's close to us is Chickasaw and also Pinson Mounds. So some type of relationship with social groups or activist groups that are involved in the inner city communities, partnering with them to develop a partnership with the local, the state parks that are near these communities so that these youth can experience nature just like other kids can. I think we need to, you know, put something together in terms of this plan related to that. And that, you know, that will be a part of an equity part of it, but also just the fact that there are many kids that have never experienced a state park experience.
Thank you, Tony. Just a few minutes left. If anybody else has a comment, we want to be sure we get those. Bonnie Gamble.
I just wanted to notice about the collaboration between state departments. I will shout out the Department of Health. They have been awesome. They have made such an impact in local communities. Now, in terms of their built environment grants, I mean, they've gone outside the box. They've built greenways, they've done playgrounds, they've done all sorts of things. And I think that's a continuation that we really need to look at. And they're willing to give funding for programs. So we have a free outdoor club and a free mountain bike club that we offer because it started with funding from Department of Health. We have more Hispanics in our mountain bike club than we have any other population. And it's getting them introduced to and that trust level that, hey, I can send my kids to this. They're getting a good exercise and I can trust, you know, that they'll be treated respectfully. And then the other is, you know, TDOT. TDOT, I would like to see a closer alignment with them also because, you know, they have some very specific restrictions on what they can fund in terms of, you know, greenways and trails. But the fact that they would put more money in making sure that we're getting these bike lanes on all these construction projects that are going through a lot of these communities, it means a lot. And also they have a tendency, we all sometimes don't think of sidewalks as outdoor recreation, but if you're living in a metropolitan area, a sidewalk is very important. It's what gets you outside safely and a lot from minority neighborhoods and connecting to those, the health component of the grocery store. So it would be nice if TDOT could work with us in trying to have a little bit more flexibility about, quote, funding a sidewalk project than what they tend to do. That's my 2 cents.
Good, thank you. Thank you. Any other comments before we move to the next section?
I think
there's a hand, Dr. Fly.
Hey, George, I think we're a little bit behind time. So we're about 5 minutes behind. So if I could just read Allison's comment. Did everybody see Allison's comment in the chat box? Let me read that and then we can kind of move on to Kim Lee Horn's survey results. So she said, to pair with David Arnold's comments on education and stewardship, a timely initiative during COVID focuses on responsible use of our public lands. The Recreate Responsibly promotion, supported by 750 organizations and agencies across the U.S. I know you guys are seeing record numbers in national parks. We have two here in Tennessee state parks, and I know there's a lot of state park systems across the country that are experiencing record visitation numbers, but they are also experiencing budget cuts as well. So they're facing a lot of different challenges for sure. But that's a good point. That's a good point. So Michael's reminded everybody to use the chat box if you have any additional comments or questions, because we will definitely record any additional thoughts that you have. So.
Right. Thank you, Ann. Dr. Fly.
Oh, and TDOT, right quick. We really need to work with them in giving river access with bridges, especially when they're building new bridges. So we need to add that to the trails and sidewalks. That's all.
Okay, very good. We're now going to, we're now going to move to our survey results. And Kim Lee Horn, and these are the surveys that you took during the last week. And Kim Lee Horn will share those survey results with us now.
All right, thanks, George. Can everyone hear me? Good. All right. So I'll show a couple of visuals for any of you that like me that want to see some visuals with this. Let's see if I can maximize the screen here. So we appreciate everyone that did take the time. We know everybody's schedule is very full these days and very busy, but thank you for those. I think we got about 18 responses from the group participating. So wanted to summarize that and sort of continue the discussion as it relates to the subcommittee groups was the biggest purpose for the survey results. So we asked you what the top three agency or organization that you represent, what those priorities would be as a part of this plan. And as you can see in this Wordle, the words that are bigger and bolder were used more frequently in everyone's responses. So you see a lot of, you know, variety, and I think that's very well representative of everyone's background in our track committee, as well as the, you know, just the short dialogue we've had here today. But a lot of variety that I think is really going to make this plan successful. You can see, you know, advocacy, diversity, equity, conservation, trails, funding, sustainability, access, and health, a lot of those keywords that have been utilized. So we'll come back to this throughout, you know, our planning process, but wanted to highlight everyone's response kind of in a visual way so that you could see where those priorities, what those words are that are rising to the top. Another question that we had asked everyone, based on our kickoff meeting, our last meeting with you all, we gave a quick little poll, and through that poll, the top three responses of the most important topics for the 2030 plan were economic impact, conservation, and social equity. And so we wanted folks to sort of rank those top three responses from that kickoff meeting in order of importance. And so you can see here with conservation being there in the middle, I believe I've got a screen in my way, but yeah, conservation here towards the top, followed by economic impact, and then social equity. So we just wanted to see where those fell amongst the committee as well as we start diving into these topics. And then we asked, what were those additional issues or trends that you wanted to see discussed and covered in this 2030 plan through our progress over the next few meetings? And so we wanted to highlight really those words that we're seeing as well. And as you get into your breakout groups here shortly, you know, be thinking about some of these words, and we'll definitely share these slides after the meeting as well. But volunteerism, connectivity, awareness, education, maintenance, health, future pandemics, obviously that's being framed by, you know, what we're seeing right now, but thoughtful to think ahead as well. Careers, sustainability, conservation, park management. Again, these may not be, you know, the top subcommittee group title or theme, but definitely relate to some of your breakout groups, and kind of grabbing these that pertain to your groups is going to be important as we move forward in our committees. We asked what themes you wanted to continue from the 2020 plan, and, you know, gave a great brief summary of the plan from 2020 and what's been done and not done. But it was interesting to see from your all's perspective, the rankings. And so those on the left, you can see were frequent responses. There were five of you that said all of them. So I thought that was interesting. Again, some good dialogue. We've got four that responded, the health theme to continue that. Again, you know, based on some dialogue we've already had today, you can see that's important with the group. Four people mentioned rural economies also. Economics were listed three times, as well as environmental education. Funding and advocacy was mentioned twice in the responses, as well as recreational waters. So those topics from the last plan, and then a couple of them, I think, that got single responses here on the right-hand side that folks wanted to carry through to the 2030 plan, access, park management, growth, and diverse activities is how folks commonly responded to that question. So in all of this great data that you provided in dialogue, we sort of wanted to create at least some preliminary breakout sessions, some subcommittee group topics. And so based on the survey results, we've created these four that we'll access in via the Zoom breakout rooms here shortly, and we'll assign each of you based on your background to these. But essentially, we've created four, and again, you know, open to feedback and input, and these will ebb and flow, I'm sure, but wanted to take a stab at these four. The first one being equity and access, the second one being funding and economic impact, the third being conservation in rural regions, and then the fourth being advocacy and education. And so we'll, after this next slide, kind of read how we've assigned people. And again, we're not forcing you to stay in those, but we looked at everyone's background and responses and sort of tried to divide them up where everyone's passions and expertise went best with these groups. So the goals for our breakout sessions today, we're going to go from here until about 2:30 today and then come back together and have some brief presentations. But number one, we want you to identify a chairperson for your subcommittee. This person will, you know, both lead the dialogue today, but also the presentations, coming back to the bigger group at 2:30 and then moving forward. So make sure you identify a chairperson. And then the second goal today would be, you know, any feedback or refinement on that subcommittee theme. You know, we got 18 survey responses and have some smart people in our group and, you know, took a stab at that. But we know you guys have a lot of great ideas that you've already shared on the call today. So we want to know any of those comments or additions or such on the topics. The third goal for today would be establishing your subcommittee goal. What is it, the goal that this group should accomplish throughout this process? And then the final one, if you have time, would be great to start discussing and identifying any individuals or agencies that should be added to this group based on the topic. You know, who are those people that are not track members, but would, you know, have a lot of knowledge or a lot of passion for the topic of the subcommittee and start combining and compiling that list. So those are your goals, and we'll have a facilitator in each of the breakout rooms who will, you know, have that list in case you didn't write that down. But wanted to go through the assignments here. And we've had to pre-assign you. And so again, if you want to be moved, please send me a message or, you know, come back to the main room and let me know so that I can move your name to the other session, to the other breakout room. So in the breakout number one, we have equity and access that George will be facilitating. We've assigned Kayla Carter, John Vick, Clay Gary, Bob Benson, Allison Bullock, Senator Gilmore, and Carol Coletta to that group. And the second, funding and economic impact, April will be facilitating. We've got Simon Bradbury, Tony Black, Bonnie Gamble, Melanie Beauchamp, Mike Robertson, and Jody Sliger. And the third, conservation and rural regions, Anne will be facilitating this group. And we've got Terry Cook, Tate Davis, Bridget Massengill, David Arnold, Roger McCoy, Chris Richardson, and Steve Law. And in the fourth group, advocacy and education, Michael will be facilitating. We've got Representative Johnny Shaw, Daniel Shaquin, Thomas Gardner, and Stacy Levine. So again, shoot me a message if you'd like those to be changed, if you you know, maybe want to change a group, maybe you get in or want to change that, definitely let me know and we will do that. George, anything else that you've got before we go?
I think that's good. And the facilitator of each group will make sure that they record it and then also take notes as well. Mm-hmm. And then we all need to be back here to this group by 2:30. So we have about 29 minutes.
And I'll try to give maybe a 10-minute and a 5-minute warning and probably a 1 minute as well, because once I hit the end group, breakout rooms, everyone will, you know, the videos will stop and it will bring everyone back to this larger group. So I'll try to give you plenty of warnings as to wrap up your discussion.
Right, Alicia. And also you'll begin the groups too. Once you quote hit the button, then we'll all be in one of those subgroups.
Correct.
And like magic.
Right. I hope, fingers crossed. And if you, again, if you want to move, let me know. And we'll do that as well. So if there's nothing else, George, I'll go ahead and open the rooms then.
Very good.